Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliences. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. First, I want to say thank you so much for your patience. The last couple of weeks, I have been doing repeat episodes. As I said in my intro, I just had another baby. It was something that I kept off of everything, really, going through my pregnancy. I just had a baby girl on June 10th. And so I wanted a couple of weeks really to just get acclimated to not just the baby, but us being a family of 5, having 3 children, 5, 2, and an infant or a newborn. It was a little bit of an adjustment for me, and I wanted to get settled before coming back to record fresh episodes. I'm still not settled. I doubt I will be for a while, but I am in a space where I can record the podcast. So thank you guys so much for understanding, and I pray that those episodes that I reposted really blessed you. And thinking about where I wanted to pick back up with the podcast, of course, we're going to pick right back up with our book by Charles Stanley, The Spirit-Filled Life. I'll be doing an episode on that. And of course, we're still in our Bible on Business series. But when I think about this podcast, I always go back to the beginning, where this show started as a show about the journey of entrepreneurship, of starting a business from scratch, building it. The show evolved once we became Blessed and Bossed Up to talking about the journey of doing or building a business God's way and all that goes with that, both spiritually, professionally, personally, etc. And for the last year or so that we've been in the Bible on Business series, it's been a lot of teaching. I've been also open with a lot of things that I've gone through, sharing my testimony and business and things that the Lord has brought me through. And I wanted to, before we hop back into teaching with the Bible on Business series and even our discussions on a spirit-filled life, I wanted to have a very honest and vulnerable episode first. So today, before going back into teaching, I want to have a conversation about navigating when you're disappointed in the Lord, navigating that space where you thought you heard the Lord, but you got it wrong. Navigating that space of maybe being angry or upset with God, being confused about how something turned out, where you may have had so much confirmation and certainty about something, and then when that thing actualized, it was different than what you believed the Lord said, and navigating the feelings of that. And we talk about all the time, I've said on this show so many times, to not let disappointment drive distance between you and God, because that is a space that the enemy thrives in. And being disappointed in our spiritual journey just comes with the territory. There's so many spaces in the Bible that leaves room for us to be holy, but also human. There are so many instances of people who were doing everything that the Lord said, but they still faced heartbreak. I think about the story of Job and how he said, though he slay me, I still trust him. And I believe it's one thing for us to have these episodes where I might be passionate and going in and encouraging you, but I also think that it is equally as powerful and important for me to come on this podcast and be vulnerable, be human, and not have the answers yet. It has been a practice of mine since building a brand online to where I've always gone through things privately. And then once I've gotten the answer or the lesson and have figured it out, then I'll come and talk about it. But I believe that there's also beauty in having the conversation and communicating how you feel and sharing with those that you're called to, even before you have all the answers. And so this episode, as we deviate from the norm, I just want to be open, honest, and transparent in an effort to where maybe I can provide some language to those who may also be in a disappointed state, and also and encourage you to continue to stay close to the Lord despite how you feel. Like I said, it's one thing for me to tell you, don't let disappointment drive you away from God or drive a wedge between you and God. It's another thing where I can come on here and sit here and say, listen, sis, I'm disappointed and I'm hurt and I don't have the answers. I don't have the revelation. I don't have the aha moment, but I do have the Lord. And I do have fight in me to where I can see the ways in which the enemy wants to capitalize off of my vulnerability to pull me away from the Lord. And I can be disappointed in God. I could be hurt. I could be sad and actively resist the enemy at the same time, because my strength doesn't come from me and if I feel up for it, but my strength comes from the Lord. And just because my feelings are hurt, that doesn't change the fact that he loves me, that he's with me, and that he will strengthen me even as I navigate my feelings right now. So let's talk about it. I'm about 4 weeks postpartum right now. My daughter will be a month old in a couple of days. And I'm still sitting in my emotions about my delivery experience. I had 2 C-sections with my sons for different reasons. And I really wanted to experience a vaginal delivery this time. I wanted to have a natural childbirth. I didn't want interventions. I didn't want any surgeries. I didn't want any of that. A big part of my reasoning for that is because of how difficult it has been for us to start and grow our family. There has always been this piece of me that just felt like, God, is there something wrong with me? Why has this been so hard? Why haven't I experienced a pregnancy without a miscarriage first? Why haven't I experienced a natural childbirth? Why has a surgery been the option for the first 2? It was as if my plea for a natural birth was to prove to myself, honestly, that nothing was wrong with me, because it has been this nagging feeling in the back of my head for so long because of what's happened in this area. And any woman that has had any difficulties conceiving or in the area of childbirth and all of that would be able to tell you the same thing. It's this club that nobody wants to be a part of. And so make a note of the, I wanted to feel like nothing was wrong with me, because that's going to come back up later in the story. So I really wanted to experience a natural childbirth. I am spiritually mature enough to know that sometimes how we want things to go and how God wants things to go are not the same. So my approach to seeking the Lord on this wasn't, me trying to impose my will on him. So I didn't go into prayer just saying, God, I pray that you allow me to have a natural delivery, allow me to have a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after cesarean. And so I'll use the term VBAC throughout this episode. So I wasn't going to the Lord just continuing to say, God, I'm praying for a VBAC. Please give me a VBAC, begging him for this outcome, for my will. That wasn't my approach. My approach was, God, let your will be done. I'm just asking you to share with me your will so that I know which way I'm going to go. And this was something that I took from my last pregnancy journey where I told you guys before with my second son, where I was considering IVF or continuing to get pregnant naturally. And I was asking the Lord to tell me which way to go, because of course IVF is a process and it's expensive. And I wanted to know which way was God's will, because that was what I was on board for. And so the same thing here, it was like, God, I'm not trying to impose my will. This is what I want. And I want you to want this for me too. But if you don't, let me know so that I could prepare for one, because I didn't want to have another surgery, so that I could prepare for one. And then also just so that I could know how to move, because I've had two prior C-sections. Me attempting a VBAC will require me to change hospitals, because the hospital system I had my two sons at did not support attempting a vaginal delivery after two C-sections. I would have had to find a new doctor. It was a process for me to be able to do this, versus if I was just going to get another C-section, I could have stayed where I was at because I loved my doctor. She performed my surgery for both of my boys. And I was comfortable and familiar with the hospital system, which I feel like would have helped me a little bit in my anxiety about having a third surgery. And so with this in mind, I waited for a little bit before I sought the Lord on it, because I wanted to be at a place where I was sober enough to hear what God had to say. Something that I've learned over time is that we could go to the Lord asking for his will, but if we're so passionate and focused on what we want, it could warp our ability to hear what he's saying. It could muddy the waters in a sense and make it too loud, where your desires are louder than what the Holy Spirit is actually saying. And I've, you know, learned that over the years with my faith and my relationship with God. And so because I was so focused and my desire was so high for this VBAC, I wanted to wait a bit until I was sober enough to truly hear from the Lord on it. Once I felt like I was, I went into prayer about it. Now, in prayer, again, I want to make sure that I am not bringing my own desires so much to where they're louder than the voice of the Lord. And so when I went into prayer, I did my process. This is my process of sobering up, essentially, in prayer, where I started prayer off with worship. I started prayer off praying for other people. Worship allows me to, and I'm giving y'all these details in an effort to, you know, provide some practical things for those who are looking to seek God for various reasons. I went into prayer. Worship allows me to just drown out all the internal, external noise. It allows me to just focus on the goodness of God, his presence, how amazing and loving that he is. It disarms me in a way. It washes my biases away, and it puts my heart and my mind in a place to where I'm ready to receive from the Lord. Something else that I also do is I pray for other people and intercede, because that puts me in a place where it's not just about me. I'm not selfishly seeking God. I'm worshiping him and I'm interceding on behalf of other people. And then I'll take my request to the Lord. And this is a process that has worked so well for me before, because it has allowed me to hear what the Lord is saying and not what Tatum wants or my internal thoughts or what the enemy's trying to plan. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. iXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with iXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is iXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with iXL. iXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get iXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off iXL membership when they sign up today at iXL.com. Visit iXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed. right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. So I did that. And I believe wholeheartedly, without a shadow of a doubt, that I heard the Lord, and I heard that the Lord's will for me was to have a VBAC. I told some of my close friends that I confide in my wise counsel. And because, again, I understand my biases in this, I'm always weary. This is something I have to work out to where if the Lord's will aligns with my desire, I'd be skeptical because I'm so used to having to fight against what I want for him that whenever they actually are in line, it's like, oh no, this can't be real. But because I believe that I heard that God said that a VBAC was his will for me, I still went and reached out to my wise counsel, people I know here from the Lord, people who pray, people I confide in. I said, hey, this is what I'm taking to the Lord. I need to know if a VBAC is his will for me or if a C-section is his will for me. Because in order for me to have a VBAC, I got to make some choices. I got to find a new doctor. I got to, you know, steps, things that I have to do. But if it's a C-section, I'll have to stay put and just continue to work with my heart around this whole subject. And when I told those who I was confiding in, I told them, hey, I believe I heard which way the Lord wanted me to go. Can you pray and then let me know if you hear anything? So another control that I put in place, and I'm telling y'all these details because I want you to really understand why this is hurting me the way it is. Another control that I put in place was that I did not tell anybody that I confided in what I believe I heard the Lord say. By me doing that, from my perspective, that was eliminating the opportunity for me to impose my wants on them, and that could maybe then, I don't know, confuse or interfere with what they believe that they heard. So I kept what I believe I heard to myself so that I could hear what the Lord was sharing with them. And I also, when I heard the Lord say VBAC, I say, God, I'm going to ask for confirmation because I want this badly, but I just want to make sure that it's not me. And so I asked for confirmation from God. I reached out to my wise counsel without telling them what I believe I heard. They all come back and is on the same page, giving me this confirmation. And at that point, of course, I'm ecstatic. Like, man, the Lord is, after such a hard journey, because this is my last child, after a hard journey of becoming a mother, growing our family, all the loss and everything that we've experienced. By this time, I knew the gender of the baby. I was so happy that the Lord was giving me a daughter. This pregnancy was the first one that I had that didn't have loss come before it. Once my husband and I decided that we were going to try for a third child, within a month, I was pregnant. I didn't have any miscarriages. I didn't have any complications, nothing. This was the easiest that things have been for me as it relates to growing my family. And so I knew that the Lord was with me. He had already blessed me so much and answered so many prayers up until that point of pregnancy. And so this one of the confirmation just really felt like the cherry on top in a way. It just felt like, man, God is really going to allow me to see this totally through the way that I would like to and allow me to experience this and show me that there's nothing wrong with me. Again, put a pin in that phrase. Now, another thing that's important to mention is with the whole VBAC subject is that I was having or attempting to have a vaginal birth after two C-sections, and that comes with its own level of risk. So much so that, again, I would have to change doctors in order for me to even attempt this because a lot of hospitals don't do it due to the risk. The biggest risk of attempting a vaginal delivery is a uterine rupture, which is essentially where your uterus splits open in the space that your previous surgeries were done. And the risk of that happening increases with every C-section you had. Now, the risk is still low. However, the risk is still there. And a lot of women choose not to attempt a vaginal delivery because of that. They are under the impression that a C-section would be the safest route. And a lot of hospitals try to push that agenda as well. So once I got the confirmation from the Lord, there was still some hesitancy for me because I knew this risk that I would be taking on. And also there was a level of uncertainty because by me having to change hospital systems and doctors and all of that, I'm now taking on this physical risk in unfamiliar territory. And again, I was willing to do it if it was the Lord's will. I was willing to deal with whatever came with whatever option for as long as I was in the will of the Lord, because I look at my children's lives or my pregnancies with my children as an opportunity to teach them about the goodness of the Lord. I can't wait to tell my sons about the way the Lord answered my prayers about them. I can't wait to tell my daughter about the way that the Lord answered my prayer about her. I want their origin story of their conception and their deliveries and such to be foundations of their faith. I can't wait to tell them about how the Lord formed them in my womb and brought them into this world. But nevertheless, once I got that confirmation, I said, okay, all right, God, I need you to walk with me as I try to find a doctor. So I went through all the process of finding a hospital system that supported what I was trying to do, finding the right doctor, all of the things. My husband was totally on board. He was sharing with me things that he was seeing and how the Lord was going to bring our daughter into this world. He was giving me visions and dreams that he was having. So I had all of these different assurances that I heard the Lord correctly. Fast forward, I had a great pregnancy. I had no complications. It was very uneventful. Praise God. I'm so grateful for that. And I was in a space spiritually where my faith was growing in a very specific way. this area of my life is very personal for me. It's not like business, where business is an element of separation there because it's work. But this is a very vulnerable, personable aspect of my life. And I want to make sure I say this correctly. Something that I struggled with personally in my relationship with the Lord was that He cared about the desires of my heart just because they're a desire of my heart, not in how that desire would then serve other people. Does that make sense? Where it's easy to believe that the Lord wants something for me because of how He's going to use it, or something for me so because of how He's going to use it to advance the kingdom and give to others and all of these different things. I can accept how the Lord will use me for His glory. It's harder, or it was harder for me to accept that the Lord just wants to give me something because He loves me. Not for me to necessarily go take it and do anything with it, not for it to be this big way that others are blessed through it. But God loves me so much. He sees me so much that He wanted to give me a desire of my heart just simply because it was a desire. That was really hard for me to accept. And I think when you are someone who reads your word, when you're committed to this life, you understand wholeheartedly that struggle is a part of it. Suffering is a part of it. You're willing to suffer and struggle for the glory of God. So when it feels like the Lord is just being generous without you having to suffer for it, sometimes it could feel a little foreign. And that may just be me, but I'm just being honest about where I was. And so this journey, as we went through it, this whole 9 months of pregnancy, my faith was growing in a way to where my heart, I feel, was being softened to be able to receive the Lord's generosity, to be able to accept love in a new way. And so it was just a beautiful faith journey because, and I would send voice notes to my friends and I would be in tears a lot of times because I'm like, man, God, You love me so much. Like you've blessed me to be able to conceive easily. You've allowed me to conceive my daughter that You've been speaking to me about and showing me in dreams way before I even had children. You heard my desire for this vaginal delivery and You want that for me. I was just in such a place of tears and my faith was being built, and I feel like my relationship with the Lord was being strengthened, and I was in a position where the Lord was cultivating me for me, where so much of my life is about pouring out into other people. I felt like this was a season where I was able to lock in and be close with the Lord for me, and I could see the ways in which He was pouring into me in this season, and it was such a beautiful time. I went into the end of my pregnancy confident, hopeful, just sure of what the Lord was going to do. And so when it didn't go the way that I heard, I was crushed. So what happened was I ended up getting admitted because I was having contractions. It was like June 8th or so. I was having a lot of contractions all day and they weren't too bad. I went through the whole day with them. They weren't super strong. They weren't getting super close together. And so after pretty much dealing with that all day long, I called the hospital because I just wanted some guidance on when I should come in, understanding the risks of attempting a vaginal birth with having 2 C-sections before. I didn't want to labor at home because there, again, is this risk of things going awry. And it's important for me to be monitored as I attempted this type of delivery. So I called the hospital, told them I've been having contractions all day. They tell me, come in to be monitored. And he's like, and to be honest with you, be prepared to stay because with your history of 2 prior C-sections, we just want to be extra cautious, which I was fine with. I said, okay. I was 38 weeks, so fully baked, not really worried about any issues with the baby. So I go in. I still did think I was going to go home. I was kind of like, okay, I'm cool with it, but also I hear you and I'm going to go home because I still want to at least go into labor naturally. So if I'm not in labor now, I want to go home. Go to the hospital. baby's positioning was slightly funky. She wasn't fully head down. She was like slightly off to the left, but easily could be like moved to being head down. And they monitor me for a bit. The doctor confirmed that her positioning had got back right. But she had a couple of heart decelerations, which is something that they definitely don't want to be a regular occurrence. So because she had the two heart decels and because I was full term and they didn't want to risk me going into labor at home, they wanted to induce me. I wasn't fully comfortable with that just because I didn't want any interventions. You know, vaginal delivery, yes, but also intervention-free delivery because intervention increases the chances of complications. But because my baby had the D-cells in her heart rate, I agreed to it because what matters to me more than how I wanted to give birth was me being healthy and my child being healthy. And while I knew I was taking a risk and I was okay with the risk that I was taking, I was not willing to risk my life or my baby's life. Like my risks had a limit. So I let them induce me. And long story short, we went through the induction for about a day or two. And after a while, I just wasn't progressing anymore. My daughter, she was fine. Her heart rate was fine. I was okay. And so there was nothing wrong with either one of us, but the induction the labor just didn't continue after the induction. And so they got to the point where there was nothing else that they could do for me to safely be able to have a vaginal delivery. When I tell you this whole time, I was praying every time something didn't go the way it was supposed to, like the induction, I'm praying. Even when I first got admitted and her positioning was a little funny, the doctor had got called out to go see a patient or something. And while he was gone, I was praying. I'm talking to the Lord, like, God, please intervene. Please fix her positioning by the time he gets back. All of these things. The doctor comes back, her position is perfect. So I'm getting all of these little assurances that the Lord was with me. And so as we go through the induction, I'm just continuing to pray and keep my faith of what the Lord had been, how the Lord had been building me up until that point. And so once we got to the second day and there was nothing else that they could do, and essentially what that meant was it was time for a C-section, I was broken. I lost it. I just boo-hoo cried. Y'all know how I am. If y'all been listening to the show, I'm not a cry in public type of person. Very much so, like, I'm gonna keep it together. I bust out crying with all of them doctors in the room. I just could not hold it in. I was so defeated. I have seen my husband cry two times in the 9 years that we have been together, our wedding day and on this day, because we were both so certain. This was a faith journey for the both of us. He wanted this just as bad as I did and was just as convinced as I was. We were in this together. And this rocked us. It did. I cried for a while. There was a nurse that was in the room and she's a believer. And she said, she encouraged me. I was waiting for her. I wanted to wait for her to leave to start crying, but I couldn't hold it in anymore. And so the doctors left once they saw me lose it. She stayed because she had to finish charting. So she was like, can I pray with you? And she did. She came. She gave me a hug. She prayed. And I lost it even more. And she said, I have to tell you something. I hear the spirit of the Lord telling me to tell you that there's nothing wrong with you. And remember, I told y'all to put a pin in that phrase a couple of times. And to be quite honest with you, I didn't even make the correlation until starting to record this podcast. As I was recording the beginning part and telling y'all how I wanted this so bad because I wanted to prove that there was nothing wrong with me, I didn't plan to say that. I had to pause the recording for a second because it clicked as I was recording that part, that was what the nurse said. And that's why she said it, because that was my underlying motivation for wanting this so bad. And but nevertheless, she said that. And I heard her. It really spoke to my spirit, but it didn't click until just now. And I appreciated her for praying. And I asked everybody to leave. I asked my mom and my aunt to leave. It was just me and BJ. We hugged each other. We encouraged each other. He was so hurt. I was so hurt. But remember, when I was talking to them, I wasn't just hurt that this outcome wasn't going to be what I was believing in God for. I was also afraid of how this could hurt my faith. And so what I did was, when I asked everybody to leave and my husband and I finished, you know, pouring into each other, I prayed. I said, God, I am confused. This is not what I believe I heard. This doesn't align with the confirmation I thought that I had. I don't quite know how to feel in this moment other than hurt. But God, what I don't want to feel is distant from you. What I don't want to feel is the enemy able to intervene because of my vulnerability. So God, even in my confusion, even in my disappointment, I trust you. I ask you to carry me through this surgery. I ask you to carry my baby through this surgery. And in due time, we will process this together. I know in due time, you will heal my heart. But I choose to still trust you. And that was my prayer in the middle of being disappointed. And in the middle of being hurt, and they wheeled me back to surgery. So after I got myself together, I finished praying. My family came in. They prayed again for me. I go back to the operating room. And why in the operating room? There is someone who is in the society, which is our membership community that supports this podcast. And she's been in society for a while. She recently moved to D.C. She and I did brunch together when she moved to D.C. She's a doctor, which I knew, a pediatrician. But she was at Children's Hospital. I had no clue that she did rounds or whatever the correct medical term is at the hospital that I was delivering at. And so it was so funny that I was laying there, you know, they're getting everything ready for the surgery. Everybody comes in. When you have a C-section, for those who don't know, there's a lot of people in the room. You got the anesthesiologist, the nurse, you have the pediatricians, the NICU people that are there to check out the baby to make sure the baby was okay, is okay, and all these different things. There's a lot of people in there. And so I see this person come up to where my head is. And like make a face. And I'm like, who is this? And why is she looking at me like that? I thought it was the nurse that had just prayed with me. I thought maybe she came in to, you know, I don't know, be there to support me. And so once she came back again, I saw her name tag and I read her name. And I was like, oh, my God. And that blessed me more than she probably knows. To just know that it was somebody in the room that I knew that is a believer, that I know would pray for me. And it was like I saw an angel. And I was just so grateful to God. And I told my husband when he came in, he was like, for real? And she even came to our postpartum room the next day to check on all of us. And I'm just so appreciative and grateful that she did and that she was there. And that was just another example of the Lord's divine intervention in the process, even if the outcome wasn't what was expected. And I want to be clear that I'm still navigating that disappointment. I'm still navigating the confusion of I don't even understand how I took all of these steps to make sure that I was hearing from the Lord and what I heard isn't what transpired. I'm still dealing with that confusion. I'm experiencing firsthand the way in which the enemy will capitalize on that confusion. There have been things where I've gotten a little anxious about with my recovery because my recovery has been a little different than previous C-sections. And the enemy will say, or I will use my faith in the word to encourage myself to not be stressed out about certain things. And an enemy will say, what are you speaking that for? You had faith that this was going to turn out, your delivery was going to turn out a different way. And now look at you. And I have to take that thought captive. My husband will try to encourage me. And I will hear the enemy say, well, he thought that you was going to have a VBAC too. So why are you listening to him now? All of these things will come up and I have to continue to take those things captive because I refuse to pull away from God. I don't have to understand to serve. I don't have to have it all figured out and have the answers and be clear in order for me to be committed. I don't. I choose to stay close to the Lord because my life is surrendered to him. Even when I don't understand how certain situations work themselves out. And two things could be true. This situation didn't turn out the way that I believe that the Lord would. And also, God was still very much present throughout this whole process. My faith and everything that I communicated to you about the Lord caring about me and loving me and wanting to give me the desires of my heart, being generous with me and me learning how to accept that type of love, me learning how to accept how to be parented well from God when I didn't experience that in the natural, those lessons and the way that he grew my faith and we got even closer throughout this process, that is still very much so real. That's not erased because the outcome was different. And the enemy would love for me, he would love for you to disregard everything that the Lord has done because of a disappointment. He would love that. I refuse to give him that. And so for anybody who's listening to this, if you're dealing with disappointment, you can be holy and you can be human. Acknowledge how you feel. Feel how you feel. But do not let it drive you away from the Lord. Choose to be committed. Choose to be close to him. And surrender, choose to keep your heart surrendered to him. And he will put it back together and heal you in due time. He'll give you revelation in his timing. I got a little revelation of why that woman spoke to me that there was nothing wrong with me in the hospital as I was recording this podcast. I still have questions, but my questions aren't contingencies for me to be committed to the Lord. And in due time, the Lord will reveal what needs to be revealed. But for right now, I just ask that he heals my heart. And I would suggest that you do the same. Again, I don't have all the answers. I don't have the big aha, like, oh no, I had to go through this in order for this to happen. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see it. I ain't going to try to be logical or figure it out on my own. I'm going to let the Lord reveal what needs to be revealed when it needs to be revealed. But for right now, I'm giving him my heart to heal. And I'm giving the enemy my behind the kiss because he cannot have me. Simply because I'm vulnerable right now. So I pray that me telling this story helps somebody. Y'all know this is not like me. I usually will have some research, some practical, all of that. Like that's how we teach here. But sometimes you just got to be vulnerable and open and let the Lord use your story to bless who it needs to bless. So I pray that this lands where it needs to, that you share this with somebody who may have experienced some disappointment. Anybody, if you are in a space where you have pulled back from the Lord, where you do feel distant from him because of how you feel about the outcome of a situation, I pray that you find your way back home. I pray that you know that the Lord can handle your questions. He can handle your frustrations. He can handle your anger. He can handle your sadness, but he is near the brokenhearted. Though he slay us, we must trust him, just like Job said. He is near the brokenhearted, just like it says in Psalm. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher. And so that means there are going to be things that we don't fully comprehend, but we have to just trust that the one who is in control has it. Under control. And we allow him we allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us as we navigate our feelings surrounding our various situations. So again, I pray this blessed who it needs to bless. And we'll be back with our regularly scheduled program soon. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I'll see you the next one. And I want us to know that and want us to recognize that, because there will be seasons in our business that are going to frustrate us or try to frustrate us out of position. But we have to make our way back always to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. So I'm going to end this show here. This show was definitely longer than usual because I want to be thorough as we explore the text. This Bible on Business series is not something that's cute, but it's an in-depth exploration of the text and what the text indicates as it relates to us doing the things that God has called us to do in his entrepreneurial world. So that's it for this episode. If this episode blessed you, leave us a 5-star review. Share it with a friend who needs to take this journey with you, who wants to take this journey with us here on the podcast. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast, and I'll see you in the next one.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.